You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, Hoops heads. Welcome to Locked On Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's Monday, March 5th. I'm your host, Aliko Carter. Game went down to the wire Friday night. The Hawks did not go away despite the Warriors' best efforts on that Friday. We're going to talk about that in the first segment. In the second segment, we're going to do a brief rundown of the Warriors' schedule through March and take a look at the young guns as well. That's Kevon Looney, Jordan Bell, and Patrick McCall. We're going to check in on those guys. Looney hasn't played in a few games. He's been inactive in place of Jordan Bell and Quinn Cook, who have had the go ahead, and Patrick McCaw is still nursing his wrist injury that he had to get taken care of a few weeks ago. So we're going to check in with those guys. And then in the third segment, I'm going to go over some stories that I've recently published on Forbes.com. I'm thankful to all my new listeners. You can catch my written work on Forbes.com. I've also been featured on BleacherReport.com. You just go to those sites, search Aliko Carter, A-L-I-K-O Carter, and it'll take you right to my stuff. I love covering this team. I've been a Warriors fan since 1998, Antoine Jameson's rookie year, and it has been a journey. It's amazing to be covering such a good team now. It's almost surreal. But you can get this podcast on Spotify, iOS, Google Play, iTunes, and LockedOnWarriors.com, which is a site that you should bookmark immediately. You can also find this podcast on Facebook at Locked On Dubs and Twitter at Locked On Dubs. Make sure you check out the Locked On NBA podcast, which is now 5 days a week. It's a bite-sized morsel of NBA news. It's the local experts on the biggest story, so check it out every day. So the Warriors were in Atlanta on Friday, and, you know, they're playing a game, a team that had fewer than 20 wins, you know. But this is a team, like I said, that has played up to its competition, played down to its competition, and the Warriors were coming to town. So, of course, they were going to be locked in, and Kent Bazemore locked in. You know, not only is he playing the world champion Warriors, but it's his old team. And so he was knocking down threes from the left corner like it was nobody's business. He made some extremely difficult shots and really kept the Hawks in the game for a long period of time. A lot of that came in transition, whereas with Dennis Schroeder, he did a lot of his damage in the half court, especially when somebody like Nick Young was guarding him. He just took Nick Young to task. Nick Young had some good minutes, still needs to do some work on the defensive end, but made 3 3-pointers and helped the Warriors manage their lead. So good minutes from Nick Young, even though he was taken to task by Dennis Schroeder. Stephen Curry rolled his ankle early on Zaza's foot. It looked like a bad roll, but he came back and played the game for the most part. He scored 28 points in short minutes and was then held out after his initial 4 or 5 minutes in the third quarter, held out for the rest of the game to get treatment and make sure that he's ready to play on Tuesday. So he came back into the game, which is, you know, not something that, you know, it's a good sign. It's a good sign that he came back into the game, that he was able to play, that he was knocking down shots. I'm sure he felt particularly sore afterwards and throughout the weekend, but the Warriors don't play until tomorrow, so that's 3 full days of rest for Stephen Curry and his ailing right ankle. Like I said, 28 points in 23 and a half minutes. He was 8 of 15 from the field, 4 of 9 from 3, 8 of 8 from the line. That's a full game in 23 and a half minutes right there. And he was clearly coming into this arena ready to spew fire from his hands. He also had 3 assists, 2 steals, and a rebound. Kevin Durant scored his 28s in 35 minutes. He didn't make a 3-pointer, but he was 12 of 19 from the field and 4 of 6 from the line. He only had 3 rebounds, but 5 assists, a steal, 2 blocks, and 4 turnovers, 18 turnovers in this game for the Warriors. That's too many, obviously. 4 turnovers from Kevin Durant is too many. Draymond Green had 3, and then 2 from Klay, from JaVale, from Andre, from David West, and from Jordan Bell. Quinn Cook also had a turnover as well. So just a lot of miscues with the ball, a lot of passes that went errant, or were just thrown to a Hawk instead of a Warrior. 53% shooting, though, on the shots they did get up, they only put up 79 shots with those 18 turnovers. But 53% shooting on those 79 shots was the recipe for the win. The Hawks put up 7 more shots than the Warriors, but they only shot 44%. They shot 43% from 3, however, making 15 of 35. So the Warriors are going to have to do a little better job of defending the 3-point line. And a lot of that, like I said, was in transition. Kent Bazemore was fire in transition, making 5 of 7 3-pointers. Torian Waller-Prince made 5 of 12. That was the big, big number that we got, and then the others were just kind of spread around. Dennis Schroeder was 2 of 8. Dwayne Dedmon didn't make one, so good defense from the bigs. John Collins was 1 of 1, Mascala 1 of 3, and Malcolm Delaney 1 of 1. That's really good shooting from the Hawks, and it's not something that we can expect, you know, every single game from them. But, you know, like I said, they're playing the Warriors. They came to play. They were locked in. They turned the ball over 19 times. A lot of high turnovers, and the Warriors' defense really pushed and prodded and corralled them into bad passing and into just making mistakes that sometimes younger players make. Dennis Schroeder, he's been in the league for, 5 years now? He had 4 turnovers. Torian Waller-Prince, a younger guy, had 5 turnovers. Kent Bazemore had 4. And then a number of other players had a few as well. 19 turnovers is a ton. Actually, I'm seeing that there were 3 team turnovers, so you can up that number to 22 for the Hawks, and the Warriors scored 27 points off those 22 turnovers. The Hawks, for their credit, scored 30 points off of the 18 Warrior turnovers. The Warriors, though, got their number in fast break points, 22. They had 9 second chance points, outpacing the Hawks by 4. The Warriors also had 33 assists, 12 steals, and 5 blocks. There was a block of a jump shot in the game. I hope if you were drinking, you took a shot. When I believe it was Draymond who blocked a jump shot in the first half. That's my go-to drinking game for Warriors games. It's not going to get you drunk, but it'll get you tipsy. Interestingly, only 9 minutes for Zaza Pachulia and 10 minutes for JaVale McGee. Jordan Bell got 7 minutes, and David West got almost 15 minutes. So a lot of the time they were playing with Draymond at the 5. He played 37 minutes, pacing the team and allowing Kevin Durant to be a scary monster at the 4. And that is super fun because Kevin Durant was using his length to create problems for everyone driving into the lane. Had 2 blocks on the night in addition to a steal. Played very good defense for most of the night in addition to his 28 points. All in all, I thought this was a good game for the Warriors. If typical, got to keep the turnovers down. You want to be 15 or below. That's what Fitz and JB say, that the Warriors have a very, very good record when they record 15 or fewer turnovers, and a mediocre, almost 500 record, I think, when they record 16 or more. They did win this game, and they won it easily, but not easily. It took a last-minute Andre Iguodala steal and dunk to really seal the game, though it didn't really feel like the Warriors were about to lose. They were up 3 with 13 seconds to go after being up by 14 in the second half and up by, you know, double digits, 11, within the final 2 or 3 minutes of the game. So they got a little complacent, but Andre wasn't complacent. Andre saved the game. And how many moments in Phillips Arena is Andre going to have? I mean, really. You know, he had that big shot a few years ago, the 3-pointer that won the game in Atlanta that season. I believe that the Warriors won the championship, or maybe it was the year before that, 2015, I think. And that was a much better Atlanta team back in the day. It was really, you know, not that long ago, a few years. But Andre has a pep in his step. He's throwing down huge dunks. He is making life difficult for everyone that he guards, and he's controlling the tempo of the fast break. He's bringing a calmness to the fast break that belies his explosiveness. And in this game, he played 26 minutes. He was 4 of 8 from the field. He shot 4 3-pointers, which I love, making 1. But shooting, he's got to keep shooting. 4 defensive rebounds, 5 total, 6 assists, 2 turnovers, a steal, a block, He did everything. He scored 9 points, but his minutes were integral to the Warriors. Like I said, he brought a calmness to the game and then obviously sealed it with the steal and dunk in the final seconds. We're back, and I want to take a quick trip down the road. Tomorrow, the Warriors will play at home versus the Brooklyn Nets before playing at home Thursday against the San Antonio Spurs. On Friday, it's the second night of a back-to-back at Portland, and on Sunday, they'll be at Minnesota in the matinee. That's going to be on ABC. Wednesday, March 14th, they come back home to face the Lakers and Kings on Friday, March 16th. Should be two W's, hopefully, and nice home games to come home to. And then Saturday, March 17th, they're at Phoenix on the second night of a back-to-back before facing the Spurs again, this time in San Antonio on Monday, March 19th. They have their second meeting with the Hawks at Oracle Arena on Friday, March 23rd. On Sunday, the 25th, they'll face the Jazz at home. Tuesday, the 27th, the Pacers. And Thursday, the 29th, the Milwaukee Bucks, before going to Sacramento to face the Kings on Saturday, March 31st. That's the schedule through March. And there is only one team that the Warriors haven't played yet. They play the Pacers on March 27th and on Thursday, April 5th at Indiana. Next week, I'm definitely going to spend a good amount of time talking about the Indiana Pacers. They're a team I probably talked about the least in terms of all the teams that are in the thick of the playoff race, and they're playing extremely well. Nate McMillan has them, you know, up and down, but chugging and managing to stay, you know, above 500 enough that they can be in that Eastern playoff race. And they've been so consistent. You know, they're 36-27. They're 9 games above 500. And I can't really see them falling out of the playoff race right now, even though you'd think with the lack of the star power that they would. They're playing as a team, and Victor Oladipo is playing out of his mind. But that's subject matter for next week. This week, we're going to be talking about the young guns. And I want to take a little bit of time to talk about Quinn Cook, because Quinn Cook has been playing very well. In his short minutes, he looks extremely confident and is knocking down shots. He's taking three-pointers, and so, you know, when he's out there playing, you feel comfortable that he will, you know, with along with Nick Young and potentially Andre Iguodala, will provide shooting off the bench, which is extremely important, and provide a steadiness. He only had one turnover in 12 minutes and 31 seconds. He was handling the ball. He missed his only three-pointer, but he was one of two from the field, including a nice, nice floater in the lane. It was more of a shot than a floater, but really nice, and made both of his free throws. And so what we want to talk about is him being out there and not making mistakes, because that's how he's going to continue to play, get his playing time. And he really didn't make mistakes in this game. In the 12 minutes and 31 seconds that he played, he was strong. He played good defense. He was getting the rotations right and was locked in offensively. Jordan Bell only played 7 minutes and 37 seconds in the last game. He was 0 of 3 from the field. He had a few defensive lapses where he was just in the wrong place at the wrong time, but he did have 4 rebounds and an assist as well as a steal. Though 2 turnovers for a guy who played only 7 minutes and 37 seconds is too many. He's having a few growing pains coming back from his injury. He probably got out of whack, a little bit out of sync, and will have to get bigger minutes, you know, maybe going back to those games where he was playing, you know, 20, 25 minutes a game to really kind of get in the groove and play in sync with the Warriors. Kevon Looney didn't play, coach's decision. He was inactive, not one of the 12 active players, and that's been the case for the last few games as they try to get Jordan Bell acclimated and get Quinn Cook some good minutes without Sean Livingston in the lineup. But Livingston will be back on Tuesday, and so we can expect Quinn Cook to go down, maybe back to the G League, or at least become inactive And so, you know, it's going to be Jordan Bell or Kevon Looney, not Jordan Bell and Kevon Looney going forward, I think. Or maybe Omri Caspi will get a few DNPs as well. He only played 5 minutes and 30 seconds. He was 0 of 1 from the field. He had a rebound and didn't really do much else. He was minus 3 on the night. But, you know, it's tough when you're getting short minutes. And for a guy like Caspi, who's used to playing 25, 30 minutes a game in his past stops, you know, it's got to be hard. 19 games to go, so plenty of time for Bell, Looney, and Quinn Cook to get their reps in before the playoffs. Steve Kerr is not the kind of guy that's going to really shorten his rotations in the playoffs. There's definitely going to be some, you know, you're probably not going to see Quinn Cook that much, honestly. And Kevon and Jordan Bell are going to play probably their normal minutes, which is, it's going to depend on matchups. So we have to see who the Warriors are going to play in the first round, in the second round, to really determine whether or not Looney and Bell will be used a lot. Bell, obviously good at the 4 and 5, Looney as well, playing defense and benefiting the Warriors' smaller lineups. I like JaVale McGee starting now in the place of Zaza Pachulia. He provides an element of jumping through the roof that the Warriors really don't have. He can keep the defenses honest by slipping screens, by, you know, playing well in the pick and roll, and hurting defenses above the rim, as well as playing the good defense that he played yesterday. He did have a block, also a goaltend. He gets a little slap happy sometimes, but provides something that Zaza just can't provide. But what we're seeing is the Warriors settling into their rotations, and those rotations include a lot of Draymond Green at the 5 and Kevin Durant at the 4, and there's nothing wrong with that because those two guys are arguably the two best defensive players on the team. I put Klay Thompson and Andre Iguodala in there as well, and Sean Livingston. And those guys, you know, along with David West, are playing defense at a high level every game. And, you know, Durant and Draymond have to get their minutes. You got to get David West in there for his 12 to 15 minutes a game. The Nets are 20 and 44. The Kings are 20 and 44. The Suns are 19 and 46. And the Hawks are 20 and 44. Those are games coming up in the next few weeks that we could see a lot of Quinn Cook, Jordan Bell, potentially Kevon Looney. Other than that, though, in the next couple of weeks, you know, it's going to be hard to see how they fit in to this 12-man roster. Really quickly, I want to talk to you about sponsoring the Locked On Warriors podcast. Podcasts are hot right now, and smart advertisers are going to podcasts to get their products to the people. The Locked On Warriors podcast is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 and 44. That's a connected male audience. If that's your target demographic, get at me. Send me an email at alikocarter11@gmail.com. That's alikocarter11@gmail.com, and I'll give you all the details. Our rates are reasonable, and you have nothing to lose, so get at me. Now, in this final segment, I want to talk about Klay Thompson and the Thompson Family Foundation. This story has been embargoed for months. I've been sitting on it for a while, but very excited to share it with you today. Klay Thompson and his family, the Thompson family, including Michael, the elder statesman, if you will, who won 2 championships with the Lakers in the 1980s. Mom, Julie, the former standout volleyball player in college. And sons, Michael, who played for the Santa Cruz Warriors. Trace, who plays for the Los Angeles Dodgers. And, of course, Klay Thompson have come together to found the Thompson Family Foundation in conjunction with Opus Bank, which is a West Coast bank that is trying to get its name out there. It's one of the top 200 banks in the country and is partnering with the Thompsons on a bunch of initiatives surrounding the Thompson Family Foundation. And the Thompson Family Foundation is basically this. It's a foundation that is looking to assist youth and help out with youth programming in Oakland, where Klay plays, Los Angeles, and Portland, where the family is from, and the Bahamas, where Michael Thompson is from originally. And what they're trying to do is just use their money and fame to do good. Klay told me he wants to be known as more than a great warrior, but as a great citizen. He says the city of Oakland and the whole Bay Area has given him a lot. Same with the Bahamas. And he just loves being around the youth. He understands that he's in a unique position, especially on the Golden State Warriors, that You know, he wants to be a role model. He knows that he has no choice but to be a role model, and he's taken that to heart. This story can be found on Forbes.com, titled "Klay Thompson Partners with Opus Bank to Share His Solid Foundation with Fans." I'm happy to be able to share this story. And Klay and his family are sharing their story as well. They are part of a docuseries that Opus Bank is putting on called A Solid Foundation, which is basically helping customers of the bank, fans of the family, to understand how the family operates, how they manage their money, and, you know, just kind of giving them an inside view into, you know, what the Thompson family is like. And they're just a regular family. They're really cool. I hung out with them for a day in Los Angeles back in December doing these interviews, and they're just a normal family. They were happy to be together, you know, because Trace plays during the summertime for the most part. Klay plays during the wintertime for the most part. And it's hard for the family to get together. So they were just happy to be able to be in one place at the same time, you know, as if they were, you know, back around the dinner table at home back when the kids were in high school playing baseball, playing basketball, and growing up together. Their childhood friend, Seth Tarver, who went to Oregon State and then played for Rising Fukuoka Japan in overseas, is now the director of the organization and is going out in the Bay Area to do site visits for on behalf of the foundation to find groups that, you know, would potentially benefit, you know, from a relationship with the Thompsons. He's getting help from Michael Thompson Jr., who lives in Oakland and is a community ambassador for the foundation. So they go from organization to organization, just kind of like being the eyes and ears for Klay and Michael Sr. and Trace to be able to hear about the good work that some of these organizations are doing with youth in Oakland. He also travels down to Los Angeles and looks at groups down there. They're doing some programming in Portland. They have a couple of golf tournaments planned, one for the Bay Area and one in the Bahamas, in conjunction with Opus Bank over the course of this summer, that they're going to be putting out there to raise money for the foundation. And Klay Thompson is also a part of another docuseries called Real Talk, where they go into his financial DNA. And I've got a little bit more information about that coming out at the end of the month. Isaiah Thomas will also be a part of the Real Talk series. He's another Pac-12 athlete, went to Washington. Klay, of course, went to Washington State. Opus Bank is the official bank of the Pac-12. And so what they're trying to do is target former Pac-12 athletes who've made a name for themselves in professional sports, targeting superstars, people like Klay Thompson, people like Isaiah Thomas, to get the name of the bank out there and really provide content to increase people's knowledge of financial literacy, which is a noble cause. That piece is on Forbes.com. I've also tweeted it out from my Twitter account, at Koji Tare, K-O-G-I-T-A-R-E. Make sure you go follow that account. It's also available at Locked On Dubs on Twitter, where I tweet out my stories as well as every single podcast that I produce. That's about as much time as I have today. Make sure you tune in tomorrow. I'll be previewing the game against the Brooklyn Nets. We're going to be doing our Warrior of the Week. That'll be Andre Iguodala. And then in the third segment, we're going to go around the NBA. I want to say congratulations to Kobe Bryant for winning an Oscar last night for his short animated film, Dear Basketball, which he wrote and produced. That's a big win for Kobe Bryant and a big win for the NBA. So definitely congrats to Kobe. I was at the game that premiered that video, the Kobe Bryant jersey's retirement, and it was really touching. I would encourage everyone to go to YouTube and watch it, because you really, what we're talking about is one of the greatest basketball players ever, and talking about his love affair with basketball. It was really a beautiful story, well illustrated, well produced, and certainly deserving of the Oscar, even though, of course, who actually watches the short films, the short animated shorts? I don't. So saying it's well-deserving without seeing the other ones is a little bit disingenuous, but definitely was, I enjoyed it as a lover of basketball and as appreciator of what Kobe Bryant brought to the game of basketball and continues to bring. Tough game to watch on Saturday night. On Saturday night, the Boston Celtics had that game in the bag but made a few mistakes and allowed the Rockets to get their 15th consecutive win. So the Rockets are still one game ahead of the Warriors in the loss column, and they play on Tuesday as well against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Put that game on your calendars. Some streaking teams in the NBA right now. Toronto has won four in a row, solidifying its hold on the top seed in the Eastern Conference. In the West, Houston has won 15. The Warriors have won 5. Portland is now in the third spot at 37-26, having won 6 in a row. And New Orleans is in fourth at 36-26, having won 8 in a row. Still 20 or so games to go for everyone in the NBA. Make sure you stay on top of these streaking teams as the standings change every single day. Some good games on the docket tonight. Pistons-Cavs is on NBA TV. Bucks-Pacers on League Pass. And then the nightcap on NBA TV will be able to see if the Blazers can keep their winning streak going against the Lakers in Los Angeles. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for tomorrow's episode and stay thoughtful, Hoopsheads.